anytime you can help young people develop new skills, that is the first step. Because before they can make a change, they have to know that change is possible. So between exposing them to new skills and then giving them opportunities to practice the new skills are super important.
Welcome to the Generation Youth Podcast, where we ignite the future by empowering our youth. I'm James McLam, your host, founder, and CEO of Generation Youth, and the author of the best-selling book, Tomorrow's Youth. Whether you're a parent, an educator, youth pastor, or coach, join us as we dive into the pressing issues facing our young people today. Together, we'll unlock the strategies, insights, and inspiration to elevate and equip our next generation. Stay with us, and let's make a difference, one youth at a time. Welcome to the Generation Youth Podcast, to another episode we have. I'm here with my new friend, Sam Brown. Sam, thank you for being my guest today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me. Thank you for allowing me to come onto your platform and just share a little bit about me. And hopefully I can, what I share can help the people watching and listening.
Well, when you reached out to me and we started connecting, I realized that the message that you have, the things that were on your heart, our audience really needed to hear, because it resonated with me. And I knew it would resonate with anyone who works with youth or youth in general. But before we even get started in that, as we've set it up, and hopefully there's some anticipation, tell our audience a little bit about yourself. They would love to hear you tell them and introduce yourself.
Oh, yeah. So again, my name is Sam Brown. I am a professional speaker, award-winning author, and a best-selling author and award-winning philanthropist from Coatesville, Pennsylvania. And a little bit about me, all things youth. I've spent the past decade of my life, now a little over a decade, just working in various youth settings, working directly with young people, whether it's foster care, juvenile probation, at-risk youth, high schoolers, college students, you name it. And I travel and I really deliver a message, which is also, we'll get into the title of my book, Grow Through What You Go Through, which is simply helping people understand that no matter what you experience in life, no matter what you go through in life, you can find a way to grow through it and in tough circumstances to become the best version of yourself. So that's my message. That's what I do. It breaks down into various topics, which we'll get into, but that's a little bit about myself.
Where did you get up with this? Where did this concept for this book? I love the title, by the way.
Thank you.
Grow Through What You Go Through. That's very catchy, but it also has a lot of different layers of meaning. What motivated you to write this? What was the catalyst behind your journey to produce this book for us?
Yeah. So, what really got me to that point, because my journey of becoming an author was very interesting, because honestly, I always say it took me 3 years to get the courage to write a book, and it took me 30 days to write the book.
Oh, wow.
So really what was the catalyst behind it was the message that I embody, Grow Through What You Go Through, because a lot of it is sharing my experiences. A lot of it is sharing my insight and what I've learned throughout life. And really each chapter represents kind of like, I always say my book is a more of a toolbox and each chapter is a tool. It's not really meant to motivate you, make you feel good, but it's really supposed to help guide you through a tough time in your life or through that rough time. So for me, the inspiration really came from my own personal life and what I've been through and what I share as I travel and speak and different things like that.
I would assume then from that statement that there's some instances in your life that were tough and you've grown through them. And it was a message that you wanted to share with young people, adults. Who are you really focusing this message on?
Yeah. So this book, it was created and it's geared for teens and young adults. So I always say that range anywhere between like 16 to like 25, 30 years old is the perfect range. And even though that's a wide range, I think each lesson can be applied at different points in your life. The things that you're experiencing at 16, you can gain some insight from the book. The things you're experiencing at 21 and 25, or even me, I'm 29 years old. And writing the book helped me understand and start to pick up on certain things that I still needed to work on. So it was definitely eye-opening. It was very much a reflection of where I've been and who I am now, but then also how much more growth I can continue to like kind of add to my life.
So what's the thesis of the book? What's the theme of it? What the main message that our audience can look forward to when they get it?
Yeah, so the main message of Grow Through What You Go Through is very like straightforward. It is, this book is meant not to change your life overnight. It's not meant to be a magic wand over your life. It's meant to give you the skills needed to navigate the various storms in life. I have a statement that I love making. This book will help you learn how to dance in the storms of life so that you can see the beauty of life, which is the rainbow. After every storm comes a rainbow. And that's our life. Our life is various storms. And this book is to help you, is to make you storm resistant. Is to make you storm resistant so that when things happen, you have your tool belt that you need to manage and fix different areas of your life.
All right. So how are they going to do this? I mean, I can hear the minds right now of some of the listeners or viewers, if they're watching on YouTube, that they're thinking, okay, great line. I love it. It's the same thing. We hear a lot of books. Yeah, yeah. These authors telling us this stuff, these speakers jumping up. But give us the hard, cold, hard facts, man. How are we going to make this happen? So tell us, just give us a little bit of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So the reality of it is, and what separates me from like the various books, is that book is about 75, 80 pages. It's no fluff. It's just straight work. I'm all about working. And not only are you getting the educational aspect of learning from each chapter, right? Because each chapter is meant to add value, to teach you something, to give you a different perspective on life. But then at the end of each chapter, I've included growth assignments. And what this is you take what you learn or you take what you read and you apply it to your life in real time. So by the end of the book, you have progressively grown through the different experiences. And it only took you 75, 80 pages. And those growth assignments, they have been created for the purpose of development in real time. Because the one thing I'm big on, and that's as a speaker, I even do this, I don't want you to just feel good for a couple of days or feel motivated for a day or two. Like, I just read the greatest chapter. I'm about to change my life. But no, like, when are you going to actually do the work? But with the book, you do it in real time versus like you read the book in its entirety and then you start to apply the things, because people tend to forget. People tend to get lost or overwhelmed. So that way, if we do it chapter by chapter, you're not overwhelmed, you're not lost, and you can start to see real change.
So if you're giving them a toolbox to help them get through the obstacles that they've had, to help them navigate the storms of life, what are some of these tools that you're giving them? I remember the very first time when my dad gave me a toolbox, you know, I opened that thing up and I wanted to know what those tools were for, you know, and how I could use them and wanted to be trained on them. So what are some of these tools that are in this box?
Yeah. So one of the earlier chapters or the tool that you'll use is, we have to start with your mindset, because without a mindset that's strong enough to believe that you can get through the various storms in life, then you'll never get through it, no matter how equipped you are. So one of the earlier tools that I share is having a 1% mindset or a brick by brick mindset, right? Because you have to understand, and it's one of my favorite stories, when they're talking about how do you build a building? You build it brick by brick, and then eventually you'll have a wall. Eventually you'll have four walls. Then eventually you'll have, you know, your interior done. And that's your life. That's a representation of your life. So really, I want to make this digestible, and the tools that they're given is focused around how can anybody within the age range that we're focused on apply this. So having a 1% mindset, what does that mean? I'm not pressuring you to overcome life challenges overnight or in a week or in a month or in a year. The whole point of having a 1% mindset is just waking up with the intention of getting better, right? So that's one. And then I've also dedicated a chapter to the late Kobe Bryant, having a Mamba mentality. because for me, I've always loved how he approached life. So I really extracted what he was saying and made it digestible for our readers so that, again, you can totally understand what does it mean to have a Mamba mentality, which is similar to the 1% mindset of getting better every day. How can I get better? Even if it's like, if you're starting to work out, maybe the first day is like you're just putting on your gym clothes. And then eventually you're putting in your gym clothes, you're getting in your car, you're driving halfway, right? It's not about looking at I'm not doing enough. It's looking at I'm doing, right? I'm actively doing. And then eventually you'll get there, right? So yeah, that's a little bit about like a specific tool that's in that toolbox behind me.
Why do you think young people, especially the target age that that you wrote this for, why do you think they are struggling with this concept of, you know, having the right kind of mindset of getting better, slowly getting better? Why do you think they're struggling with that so much?
It's definitely a variation of things. I know for me, every generation experienced the same thing differently, right? Self-esteem, acceptance, societal standards, what you're supposed to do. Are you at the point where you should be at in life? You know, a lot of young people, they have imposter syndrome. They're comparing themselves to other people. So when it comes to all those things happening in a young person's life, then you had most recently COVID for our really younger generation that are now entering, you know, their later years in high school. There's different things that have created these barriers and these challenges. And nothing in society and life is really like lifting people up to saying, I accept you for who you are. You're great. You're this, you're that. You have to have titles. You have to have awards. You have to have all these things. And really what I want them to know is the only person that you should be in competition with, focus on, is the person in the mirror. But that's why they're struggling. It's tough to be in high school. In 2024, it is very tough to be in high school. Versus when I was in high school and about 10, 11 years ago. It was still tough, but it's a different level now.
Yeah, I was thinking of when you talk about that brick by brick mindset, how long that takes to really build something. And visually, I can see that because right next to where I'm at right now, they're rebuilding this. They've torn down and they're rebuilding this structure. And the bricklayers are out there right now this week. And it is a slow process as they go in those certain sections to make sure it's working. And I wonder, when we're talking about this, is it because we live in a society now where there's so much instant gratification that we're able to get stuff so quickly and so easily to satisfy ourselves, to get that joy off of it, that the work that you talk about, of that little bit of 1% brick by brick, is just a foreign concept to young people and a antithesis to everything that they are seeing out there. Oh, everything is, you know, happening so fast. Why can't I all of a sudden be able to bench twice as much as I did yesterday? You think there's some of that in there, and how can we address that?
Yeah, so I definitely agree with like the way society is now. It's a very consumer focused society. Very like, we got to keep pushing things out. So new technology happening, you know, people are focused on the latest and the greatest. Like if you have this, you have a certain social status in society, right? Versus like, if you have an iPhone 7 right now versus like iPhone, I think it's like 15, right?
You're going to be viewed.
Yeah, you're going to be viewed and judged differently, right? So I think there is a sense of instant gratification. I think it's also a mixture of like how young people are raised. So for me, right, little bit of a background. I was raised by my grandparents after my father passed when I was 9. And then I also faced homelessness for a little bit. So for me, being raised by my grandparents, they're very old school. So they had a very old school approach to life. And my grandfather always would focus me. Anytime I get too excited or want something, he will always ask me, what's next? He told me, I would rather you have a what's next mentality than like a what's now mentality. Like focusing just on the now, needing the now, but focusing on what's next, because that allowed me to then look at things long term. Because now he said, he taught me chess. He's like, life is chess. You got to think those 5-6 moves ahead, because the person on the other side of you is already doing it. So same thing with life. It's like when I was growing up, after I experienced a lot of the things I experienced, like being expelled from school, not really understanding my place in this world, once I really started to get my footing and my ground and being grounded in who I was, I started to think about long term. Where do I want to end up? What do I not want to experience in life? And what is going to get me there? So I think it is a mixture. And as far as the solution, I think it is helping people understand how to still have the wins, even in the slow grind, right? How do you have those benchmarks to motivate you to keep going, right? We all need that. Whether, again, gym progress, right? It's like you said, you were benching like 125. You might not double it tomorrow, but in 2 weeks, you might add an extra 10 pounds on it. And you have to learn how to celebrate that, because that's going to motivate you to keep going. So that's like one thought as far as like a solution.
Well, we're hitting on a couple of different, you know, mindset problems with them that you've mentioned. Number one is their inability to realize it is a long process to succeed. I was sharing on a recent podcast that I had heard recently that overnight successes normally take about 10 years. And that's something that folks don't see. They see these celebrities or athletes or very wealthy entrepreneurs, and they're like, look, it just happened to them overnight. Yeah, overnight for about 10, 15 years or longer of them grinding away. And then because they're not thinking long term. So we got folks who are resistant to the work daily because they want it now, and they don't see the long term. And I love your solution, what you said about making sure that you celebrate those small wins along your journey to celebrate where you are, because I think they miss that quite a bit. You work with a lot of youth currently, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And you see in their mindset in this, you know, avenue as well, that they're also struggling with this?
Yeah, they are very much like living in, like, they're very much like living in the now of like, you know, how can this serve me now? And I think the issue when it comes to small wins is people only care about championships. People only care about like being at the top or being the best. I think I was having a conversation with someone and I was like, it was like, oh yeah, I just want to be the best like artist that ever was, like the best like musical artist that ever was. Like, I think they were talking about R&B or singing. And I was like, being top 5 ever is pretty good too. Or being top 10 ever is pretty good too. And I think we have to get away from the notion of like, in order to be great or in order to be successful, I need to be the best to ever do it. And that's not always the case. So one thing I share with my young people, because they're currently in internships, is either their first internship or maybe their second. And they had to go through 9 weeks without getting paid a commitment Monday through Friday workshop in order to get to that point.
Wow.
And I knew halfway through they were struggling. So what I did was I celebrated their win of making it 50% through a program that you're not even getting paid for yet by taking them bowling. And they just had a moment where we reflected. It's like, listen, look around. It's 39 of y'all. It was 200 some applicants that didn't even get here. So you have to learn how to view things a little bit differently. And ever since then, we celebrate certain things. Like anytime I know a young person does something well, I'm celebrating them. And I think the more that we do it for other people, the more other people will realize that this is okay to do. I celebrate my small wins. Yeah, I went to the gym after work yesterday and I really didn't want to go. And I went. And that was a win for me because I could have not went.
I went to the gym this morning and I'm feeling it now. So,
yeah, listen, me too.
All right, let's put you on the spot here. We want to provide some practical advice for our listeners. So part of our listeners are typically our parents or people who are working with youth. If they are looking at their current situation of who they're in, and they want to help them to develop that brick by brick mindset to think long term, what is step one? What is something Sam can tell them right now to get them started down that road, that these adults who are working with youth, what can they do tangibly to help those young people that they are working with?
Yeah, so I actually learned this a couple of years ago working at the Coastal Youth Initiative, which if we have time, we'll get into, and how like that saved my life from a life of just craziness I was doing at a young age. But working there as a young adult, we learned something called the social development strategy to help young people become successful young adults. I have taken that strategy and created a phrase called the high five method. It's five steps on helping young people become successful young adults. But I call it the high five method, not just because it's five steps, but because the notion of giving someone a high five, a good job, is meaning that you are doing all five steps. You're doing a good job. So the social development strategy is essentially broken down into teaching young people skills, giving them opportunity to practice those skills, celebrating or giving their flowers, showing appreciation, like congratulating them on successes and wins, creating a structured environment as well is super important. But out of that strategy, the one thing I want to say is anytime you can help young people develop new skills, that is the first step. Because before they can make a change, they have to know that change is possible. So between exposing them to new skills and then giving them opportunities to practice the new skills are super important. So one thing I did with my group of students is as I was developing workshops, I understood the interaction piece is just as important as the educational piece. So anytime I learned, I taught them something. So we did a class on public speaking because I feel like being able to talk about yourself, to being able to talk in front of a group, being able to articulate a vision creates action. It creates people to move. It creates resources. It creates people to sit at a table. But after I taught them kind of like, how do you actually create speeches? How do you put your thoughts together and present them? They actually had to present them. And the activity that I did was I gave them random items. I put them in a group and I said, you have to sell this to me.
Oh, wow.
So I had like a box, a comb, a car freshener, and I think a t-shirt, like a blank t-shirt with a stain on it. Because I told them, if you could sell me this, or if you can articulate the vision of why I need this, you can do it with anything. Because I gave you literally random things that are very hard to think about outside of its initial use. Like an empty box is very, like you only could think of a few uses. But the whole point and the reason why I said that we had to give them opportunities to practice new skills is because, to be honest, like our education system is very focused on teaching, but not giving them opportunities to practice what they're learning on a hands-on experience other than an exam, which again is just retaining information or regurgitating information versus retaining information.
So first step of the high five is teaching them those opportunities. Did we get all five of them?
Yeah, so we have teaching a new skill, giving them opportunity to practice a new skill. Then we have like showing appreciation, celebrating them. Then we also have, outside of celebrating them, create a structured environment, because youth, believe it or not, love structure. They want to know what they can and cannot do. And then, oh crap, the fifth one just like slipped my mind.
That pinky finger always is hard to remember, that little item.
Yeah. It's going to come back to me. It's going to come back to me throughout this. It's going to come back to me throughout this.
Well, I love teaching them a new skill. Now, on their skill, I'm thinking about what our audience may be questioning. They may say, what kind of skill were you talking about? Are you talking about a job skill? Are you talking about a soft skill? Or does it even matter, just as long as it's something that they have learned that they can implement?
So I would say skills that they need now for navigating their current situation, right? So young people, right? Early on, a lot of young people struggle with being able to talk in front of people. A lot of young people struggle with understanding the importance of conflict resolution. So when it comes to skills, right, it's like the skills that are needed so that they can navigate the current challenges in life. But as you get older, right, you get into college, right, networking skill.
Oh, okay.
So many college students do not understand.
So soft skills just as important as the hard skills of life. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
So usually like the age range for soft skills is like early teens to late teens.
Yeah.
And then you start getting the hard skills, late teens to early 20s, mid 20s. So that's usually like the range.
I love that. All right. So that's good for those who are working with youth. Now let's jump it to the youth. What would you tell them is step one for them to have to develop that brick by brick mindset? Because they're not going to think about learning something first. I know that. I mean, I taught for almost a decade. I know that's not going to be the case. So,
oh yeah, for sure.
What is step one of them? What advice could you give them to get started on that road?
The advice I would give them before I do it, the last step is fostering relationships.
Ah, okay.
So we have teaching a skill, giving an opportunity to practice that skill, creating a structured environment, celebrating them with their wins, and then developing adult relationship, because statistics say if one young person has at least one positive adult in their life, they're more likely to be successful or grow up and live out their dreams and their goals if they didn't. But to your question, when it comes to brick by brick mentality for our young people, the one thing I would have them really think about, and this is very like off the top, off the cusp, because I've actually never been asked a question directly for the youth to develop it, is think about the various things that you do in life, right? Some of our young people are athletes. Some of our young people play video games. And when you think about the development as an athlete, development with like a character on a video game, or just like if you don't do any of those things, I think the important thing to remember, if I'm trying to instill in this, is the brick by brick mentality, is sharing with them my own personal life. I think it's important. It's important for one, a young person to be able to relate to someone and to see them at a point in life where they might want to be or they might want to get to. So I always encourage young people to get mentors in the fields and areas that you want. But again, it's like you have to drive them there. So the one thing I would say is if you're working with young people, if you're the relatable adult where their current life experiences are similar to yours, open up and share with them kind of like your journey. Because anytime I go speak, young people just think, I've gotten here. I've always been great. I've always done this. I've always done that. I never had to go through anything in life. But when I share my story of losing my parents, both my parents before the age of 23, I share the story of being expelled and kicked out of my school district in middle school up until 12th grade when I was able to come back. I share the story of almost being kicked out of college for just nonsense that I was getting into. Like, I share these different things so that they don't just assume that I had a perfect life. I didn't have to go through things, because then it allows them to see that it's possible. I think the issue is a lot of young people feel like it's not possible if it takes too long, or it's not worth it because it might take so long and then I end up failing anyway halfway through.
I think a lot of them are looking at social media so much, and they are seeing folks post their best successes, and they think, I want that immediately. And they don't see that that person's posting their best days that might have taken them years to accumulate. So
1,000%. So I think it's important for them to see an example of what does it mean to build a building brick by brick.
That's powerful on there. So where can they find your book? How can they connect with that, and where can they find it?
Yeah, so I have my website, whatyougothrough.com is what you go, and then instead of through spelled correctly, it's spelled T-R-T-H-R-U.com. you can find the book, you can read about me as an author, you can see how the book will impact and shape your life. So yeah, that's where they can find the book.
Are there any other resources that go along with the book that you have available?
Yeah, so on the website as well with the book, I included the growth assignments in the book just because I wanted people to really have something to take away from it and not just be a good read. But then also I've created a growth planner. So along with the growth assignments, I've created a planner that's broken down into personal, professional, and then either financial or dream, like goals, where each month you set large goals. And then every week you have a section where you state what you're going to do. And then the other section is how you're going to do it, because it's one to create a goal. It's two to create the plan around the goal, because without a plan, your goal is just going to kind of like be on a hamster wheel. It's just going to keep going month after month and you're never going to accomplish it. Versus if you create a solidified action plan behind it, step by step, breaking it down, you're more likely to be successful.
Where else can they get in touch with you at? Where's a good location for them to connect with you? Instagram, online work, where can they find you?
Yeah. So if you're, so again, as a national speaker, I travel throughout the United States. And hopefully this year and internationally, I got some things in the works.
Oh, good. You're excellent. Well, anything you can tell us about?
Hopefully going to Guam, which is like I've never been or heard. I connected with some students at a conference, and we're currently working out like what does that look like for the student government, and doing some leadership stuff around there. So I'm looking forward to it, not the flight, because I looked at the flight is
a long ways.
It's almost like a little over a day of travel, but excited to just experience, you know, another part of the world. But yeah, if you're looking to reach out to me, get connected, learn more about my speaking services. I do speaking really around leadership development, mentorship development, personal and professional development, as well as like working with people who work with students, developing them so that they can develop their students. You can find me at faithandeffort.org, all spelled out, faithandeffort.org. And you can fill out an interest form. I'll reach out. We'll set up a call. But yeah, I'm also on Instagram, Faith and Effort, at Faith and Effort. And I'm also on LinkedIn. You can search my name, Samuel Brown, professional speaker.
And all those links to his site, both his personal site, his book site, and a direct link to his Instagram will be in the show notes. So if you're listening, just go to your podcast app. You'll find it there. If you're watching this on YouTube, you know the drill. Look straight down. It's in the notes right under you. All you have to do is show more, and you can find all those direct links. So, Sam, thank you so much for being our guest today. We certainly appreciate this and really love this mindset of growing through what you go through. I love that phraseology. I love the catchiness of it. That's a good mindset for young folks to have, is that no matter what I'm going through, I can grow because, you know, I'm going to have that long-term mentality there. So thank you for sharing that with us today.
Nah, no problem. And again, if you're viewing this and if you're not subscribed, make sure you subscribe. This is an amazing platform. Check out his, check out the Instagram, social media, just because what you're doing for young people is amazing. I think the work that people do in this space sometimes isn't always authentic or real. And I just want to applaud you for applying that authenticity that you have on impacting young people in a positive way. So I'm grateful to be a part of this.
Well, I appreciate that. And listen, audience, thank you for staying with us. If you've been with us for almost 40 minutes now, you obviously have found some value in what we're saying. So take his advice, subscribe, like, but more importantly, share this message, because if you stay with us this long, you know someone who needs to hear this as well. So share this message, spread it out, and we'll see you all again very soon on another episode of the Generation Youth Podcast. And there you have it, another impactful episode of the Generation Youth Podcast. To all of our listeners out there, remember to hit that subscribe button on your preferred podcast platform so you can never miss an episode. Want to be a part of the Generation Youth community? Follow us on all of our social media platforms. We'll keep you connected with all of our upcoming episodes and inspiring initiatives. You're not just a listener here. You're a catalyst for change. Together, we're building a future filled with promise, potential, and endless possibilities. This journey is just starting, so keep tuning in, keep growing, and let's continue uplifting our youth one episode at a time. Thank you for joining us today, and until next time, let's keep sparking inspiration and igniting the future.